Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Kof Dalid. Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Shchebad in honor of the rabbi. Today's daf is being studied Refuah Shelema, Rabbi Yitzhak ben Tufeha. Enna refanalo, betoch she'ar chole amu Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'anu Nishmat HaCham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenehem Begen Aydin. Amen. We are beginning today's daf on the Mishnah, on daf Kuf Gimal Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, Kohen Shelaka Be'etzba'o. You have a Kohen that got a wound on his finger. Korech aleha gemi b'mikdash. He's able to take a gemi, that's a reed, and he wraps it around the wound, and he can wrap it around the wound on Shabbat. Why does he want to wrap it around the wound? Because it's not kavod for him to serve with the wound being exposed. What's the chiddush? Why shouldn't he be allowed to put a gemi? Because we're going to learn that the gemi actually has medicinal value. And really, we know the rabbis made a gezerah that really you're not supposed to do anything that is a refuah. Hadush is that that's only Yisud Rabbanan. And since we have the rule, En Shehud B'Mikdash, so the Kohen on Shabbat could take this game, this reed, and wrap it around the wound. Avalo B'Medina, but not outside the Beit HaMikdash, because the Yisud Rabbanan of refuah stands. Ve'im Neotzi Dam Kan V'Kan Asur. But if he's doing with the intent, where he wraps it around tightly, and also blood will come out, so already in the Mikdash, as well as the Medina, will be Asur. Why? Because that's an Av Melacha. That's the Melacha of Chovel, which means you're doing a Melacha in order to remove blood. That would be a Deoraita. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yehuda Bereder Rabbi Chiya. So Rav Yehuda Bereder Rabbi Chiya says, Lo Shanu Ela Gemi. That which you have in the Beit Mikdash, you can cover the wound. That's only with a reed. Aval Tzilzul Katan. But to put like a little belt, which is like a small little garment, to wrap a little belt around the wound, havi yitur begadim, is considered an extra garment. And we have pesukim that teach us that a kohen is only allowed to wear the prescribed garments that the Torah says. Meaning if he's a kohen idiot, he can only wear four garments, not five. If he's a kohen gadol, he only wears eight garments, not nine. Putting this little belt around as a bandage on his finger would be considered yitur begadim. As opposed to a piece of gemi, gemi is not considered a garment, so only gemi is mutar, but tzulzul katan, asur. Why? Because of yitur begadim. So comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yohanan Amar, lo amru yitur begadim, ela bimkom begadim. Rabbi Yohanan argues on the Biyudah, he says that. I agree with the concept of yitur begadim, you cannot wear more than the prescribed amount of garments, but only in a place where it's normal to wear a garment. A person doesn't wear a garment, one of the Kohen's clothes is not on his finger. So therefore, there's no inyan of yitur begadim. So according to Rabbi Yohanan, you could also put a sulsul katan also around this finger. There's no problem of yitur begadim. So Gemara says, Ava shelo b'mkom begadim. But if you're going to put this garment in a place where it's not normal to wear the begadim, lo avi yitur begadim. Good. So that's the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yohanan. So Gemara says, V'tipuch le mishum chatzitza. The Gemara comes along and says, why don't you just say, whether it's a gemi or whether it's a tzul, why don't you just say they have a problem over here regardless because it's a hatita? We learned that the Kohen, when he's doing the avodah, his hands must touch the keli, let's say that he's doing the avodah with, etc. There cannot be any interference. So it should be asur from a different standpoint. You shouldn't be allowed to put not a gemi and not a tzul on the finger because he's not going to be able to do the avodah. It's going to be a interference. It's a hatita. So the Gemara says, Bismol, we're talking about where it's on his left hand. Left hand was not the hand that was used for Avodah. He used his right hand. Iname b'yamin, I could say it was on his right hand. Vishilobim kom Avodah. But you're putting it in a place that it will not affect the Avodah. For example, you put it on the back of your finger. Right? So therefore you only have to make sure that the front of your finger is touching the keli. So therefore there's a way that to get around it where you have no hatzitza. So comes the Gemara and says, Ufliga de Rabah. This that we just said in the name of Rabbi Yohanan, that he allows you to put a tzulzul katan, a belt, on the Kohen's finger on Shabbat, That is arguing on Rava. Why? What does Rava say? Amar Rava Amar Rav Chisda b'mkom begadim, in the place where the Kohen wears his begadim, afilu nima achat chotzetzet. Even one thread is chotzetz. Meaning, let's say the Kohen has his mechnasayim, right? He has his trousers. So it says, u'michnese bad yilbash al besaro. The begadim have to touch the Kohen's flesh. Let's say there's a thread coming out of his mechnasayim, from the inside. A little piece of thread is coming out of it. That thread is going to be a chatzitza. Because now the mechnasayim are not touching directly the flesh. There's a piece of thread that's coming out and is interfering. That's one din of Rabbah. Second din, shelo bimkom begadim, in a place where, let's say, it's not normal for the Kohen to wear begadim. For example, his finger, shalosh al shalosh chotzeset. If the garment that you wrap around is 3 by 3 etzbaot, meaning it's a minimum shiur of 3 by 3 etzbaot, chotzeset. It's going to be chotzeset. What does it mean it's chotzeset? It's going to be considered yitur begadim. It's going to be considered an extra garment. But if it's less than 3 by 3, it's not going to be chotzeset, meaning you're not going to have a problem of yitur begadim. So what do you see from Rava? You see from Rava that he holds that even in a place where it's not normal to wear the garment, it's shayach to have yitur begadim, if it has the shiur of 3 by 3. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan said, Shalobim kon begadim, it doesn't matter what the size is, there's no problem of yitur begadim. So the Gemara says, Ad Rabbi Yochanan vaday peliga. For sure, Rabba and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing on each other. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan says, Shalobim kon begadim, it doesn't matter at all. Which means even if it's 3 by 3, it's not considered a begad. Whereas Rabba says, no, if it's 3 by 3, it's a problem. But do we have to say Rabbah's arguing on Rabbi Yehuda? Why, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that tzintzul katan, you cannot put on your hand. Why? Because of yitur begadim. So the question is, that tzintzul katan is less than 3 by 3, it's ma'ot, tzintzul katan. So it sounds like even Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with Rabbah. Because Rabbah says less than 3, is that yitur? Where, and Rabbi Yehuda is telling you, it is a problem. Are we going to say that that machloket is true? Gemara says, no. Shani tzutzul katan de hashiv. I'll tell you, really, Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda agree that the shi'ud is 3 by 3 etzbaot minimum to be considered yitur begadim. So why is tzutzul katan a problem, even if it's less? Because it's hashuv. Meaning, it's considered as if it's 3 by 3. A small belt is considered already a significant keli or a significant begad to be considered yitur begadim even less than 3. Why? Because of the significance of the begad of it. So therefore comes out according to this version, Rabba and Rabbi Hanan are arguing, Rabba and Rabbi Yehuda could be agreeing. Comes Gemara and says, Lishna Harina. Gemara gives a different version. Basically it's the same. I'll point out the differences to you now. Lishna Harina, we have another version. Amri La Amar Rav Yehuda b'Red Rabbi Chiya, lo shanu ela gemi. That which we said is permissible for the Kohen in the Beit HaMikdash to put on his finger is what? Gemi, only a reed. Aval tzutzul katan chotzetz. But tzutzul katan chotzetz. Now again, whenever you see the word chotzetz in this Gemara, it means it's yitur begadim. It's considered extra begadim. The only reason why they're using chotzetz is because for that one case where the string of the mechnasayim, let's say, is loose, so that's considered a chatitza, so they're using chotzetz loosely throughout the sugya. But the point is, Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing he said earlier. Tzutzul katan is going to be a problem. Rabbi Hanan Amar, lo amru chatitza, they did not say a problem of yitur begadim, b'fachot m'shalosh al-shalosh, less than 3 by 3, ela b'mkom begadim. Only when it's b'mkom begadim. Aba shelo b'mkom begadim. Shalosh al shalosh chotzeset. Pachot m'shalosh en chotzeset. V'haynu d'raba. Aba Rav Chisda. Which is according to this version, Rabbi Yochanan himself makes the chiluk of more than 3 and less than 3. In the first version, Rabbi Yochanan didn't make any chilukim. He said, a tzulzul on the finger, no problem. It's not considered yitur begadim because it's shelo b'mkom begadim. In the second version, Rabbi Yochanan himself is saying, even a tzutzul on the finger, it depends. More than three by its ma'ot, it's considered a beggar, you have a problem. Less than three, it's okay. Oh, that's exactly Rabba in the name of Rav Chisda. So according to this version, they're not at odds with each other, Rabbi Yohanan and Rabba. And Rabba, they're agreeing with it. They're exactly the same. Shita, that's what the Gemara says in the second line. The Hainu de Rabba, Rabbi Chisda. The Gemara says, Lema pligat Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chiya. Oh, but do we have to say that Rabba's statement is at odds with Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said what? Tzeltzul katan, you don't put on the finger. Oh, so he doesn't make a chiluk between more than three and less than three. Now, the chaurad, the tzeltzul katan is less than three. So you can't put Rabba and Rabbi Yehuda together. But do you have to say that they're arguing or not? Gemara says, no, shani tzeltzul katan, the hashiv. Like we said in the first answer. Tzeltzul katan, I'll tell you, even though it's less than three, since it's considered significant, hashuv, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, it's going to be considered yitur begadim. So therefore, comes out according to this version, everybody's agreeing here. Rabbi Yehuda, not everybody's agreeing. There will be a mahluk to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yohanan, which means Rabbi Yohanan says that what? We don't go into hashuv business. Meaning, if it's more than 3 by 3, it's yitur. Less than 3, it's not yitur. Where Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree to that principle, but I just hold tzeltzul katan is considered a hashuv item, even if it's less than 3, so it's going to be considered yitur begadim. Kavzi Gemarad says, well, Rabbi Yohanan and the Shmi'in and Gemi, the Shmi'in is a tzeltzul katan. According to Rabbi Yohanan, why did the Mishnah tell me the lesser hiddush? The Mishnah told me a Kohen, who has a wound on his finger on Shabbat, can wrap a Gemi around it. Tell me better. Tell me, Mishnah, you could wrap a tzeltzul. You could even wrap a small little belt around the finger. Why did the Mishnah tell me Gemi? Tell me tzeltzul. Why is tzeltzul a bigger hiddush? Because even though it's a beged, the hiddush is what? There's no yitur begadim, shelo bimkom begadim. Why did the Mishnah tell me gemi? You should have told me tzutzul according to the Yohanan. So the Gemara says, milta agav ulhekash magavash malan. The gemi maseh. Yeah, it's telling you a side point. That you should know, gemi is healing. And therefore the hiddush is that even though gemi, when you put gemi around the wound, it causes the wound to get healed, it's permissible to do it in the Bet HaMikdash, because in Shvut, Bet HaMikdash, because the Gezerah of healing on Shabbat, the medicine is only the Rabbanan. So therefore the Gemara is telling you a side point. You're right, you could have put the Kotel B'Hanan, whether you want to put a Gemi or you want to put a Tzeltzul. But the Hiddush in Gemi is, even though it's Refu'ah, it's going to be permissible. And so now you learn the Hiddush. Now what? Gemi is a good Refu'ah for wounds. So there was a Hiddush in that. Comes the which means the hadush is for Shabbat. If you just told me tzeltzul, it's not a din in Shabbat. Tzeltzul is stam a din of not, it's not yitur begadim. That's all week long. The hadush of gemi is, you can even do it on Shabbat, you have no problem of refu'ah, even though it's merpeh, but in shvut b'mikdash. Comes the new Mishnah. Bozkin melach al gebe kevesh. Literally means you're able to crush salt on Shabbat and sprinkle it on the ramp. What's the ramp? The ramp, the way the Kohanim used to go up to the Mizbayah. Why would you sprinkle salt on the ramp? Of course, you don't want the Kohanim to slip. You have to remember, the ramp of the Beit HaMikdash was outdoors. And therefore, if it rains, so now the ramp of the Mizbayah is very, very slippery. You don't want the Kohanim to run up and fall. So then we can sprinkle salt on the ramp in order that there's no slipping. And you're allowed to, on Shabbat, draw water from a well that was called the Bor HaGola, the well of the exiles, and also from the Bor that was called Bor HaGadol, Begalgal, with a galgal which is like a pulley, which means you have like a wheel, right, and the bucket is attached to it, and you turn the wheel, and it brings the water up. B'Shabbat, now the Gemara is going to explain what's the Hadush on this over here. And a special be'er that was called be'er hakar, you can draw water from it on Yom Tov. Again, we'll wait for the Gemara to tell us the hadushim of the wells. Comes the Gemara and says, Rami le Ravika me Pashronya le Rabba. Ravika from Pashronya is the contradiction to Rabba. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Boskin melech agabe hakevesh, you're allowed to break up the salt and put it on the ramp, b'shvi shelo yachliku, b'mikdash in. This is only permissible when in the Beit HaMikdash. Bemedina, lo. Right, it's mashma that only this heter is only said when? In the Beit HaMikdash. But outside the Beit HaMikdash, for some reason, we're not allowing. Now, we don't know yet what the issue is yet. Urmini, we have a contradiction. Haser. Shinit kalkela b'mimei geshamim. You have a courtyard that, let's say, got all ruined with rainwater. Mevi tevin, you can bring straw. Umarda ba. And you're able to sprinkle or spread out the straw in the courtyard. Why? In order that people don't slip. So the question is, from our Mishnah, it's mashma, that it's asur b'medina to put this salt, let's say, for example, to stop slipping. Where the Braik does mashma over here, no, you can do it in the Hatzir as well, just sprinkle tevin. So make up your mind, is it permissible b'medina or not? Gemara says, depends. Shani tevin delo maftile. Tevin is different. Because when you drop the tevin, the person doesn't have an intent to leave it there. Why? Because tevin is food for animals. So when he drops it on the floor, it's temporarily putting it there. Because eventually he's going to come back, what? To use it for his animals, as food, etc. So what? The issue over here is, ashvuye gumot. When you spread out this tevin, let's say, on the ground, it's possible you're going to be filling up holes in the ground. Right? Because now you're sprinkling it, you're spreading it out, now you're leveling out the ground. That would be a problem of boneh on Shabbat or choresh, which means it's a problem of a melacha. But that's only a problem when you're intending to leave it there. But if you're putting it there temporarily in order to take it out, your covenant is not to asvuye gumot. So by tevin, that you're not intending to leave it there, that's why it's permissible. Oh, by salt, in the Beit HaMikdash, your intention was to leave it there. So normally it should be asur. But since you're doing it in the Mikdash, they waived it. So the difference is, are you leaving it there or not? Leaving it there would be a problem of Ashvuye Gumot. Not leaving it there, mutar. Tevin in the Hatzer, mutar. Melach on the Kevesh should be asur. Because you're leaving it there, but what? In Shvut, the Mikdash. Comes again what it says. Let's go back to this case of the salt on the kibbish. Well, what's the case? If you're putting it on the kibbish and you're leaving it there, you're mevateling it there, ka mosif abinyan. You're adding to the binyan of the Beit HaMikdash. Because the plans that David HaMelech gave his son Shlomo were very precise, and the plans were like from divine, from Ruach HaKodesh. And it says in the Pasuk, we have this Pasuk in parentheses, and Rashi brings it in his Pirush, HaKod Bechtav Miyad Hashem. Everything was written Miyad Hashem, you can't add. By now putting a layer of salt on the Kevesh, if you're being Mevatelit, it's considered you're adding now to the building. You're not allowed to add to the building, so it can't be where you're Mevateling it. V'id Delo Ka Mevatle. Oh, and if you're telling me that, no, you're not Mevateling it, then you're eventually going to take it off. It's a hatzitza. Halakha says that the Kohen used to walk barefoot. The Kohen's feet must touch the kevesh. So therefore, memanavshach. What's the case of the salt? If you're mevateling it there, you're mosif al binyan. If you're not mevateling it there, so it's interference. It's interference between the Kohen's feet and he's walking up. So the Gemara says, no. Beholachat evarim la kevesh. When is it considered a hatzitza? When he's doing one of the services that are mandatory, that you need a Kohen to do. We're discussing over here, he's walking up the ramp with the Evarim, meaning you slaughtered the Korban, you sprinkled the blood, now you're just walking up the limbs to put it on the Mizbayah. At this point, the Gemara thinks that this is not a primary service. This is just, you're delivering the meat to the Mizbayah. It's not one of the ikarim, and therefore, you can even walk even if there's an interference. They love avodai. That's like a sin of avodah. Holachat evarim. Kamara says, vela? What are you telling me? Bringing the evarim to the mezbeh, you don't think it's an avodah? Ve'aketi ve'kri v'kohen et hakol. The Kohen has to sacrifice everything. Ve'ktira mezbeha. Ve'amar mor. What is this referring to? Zu holachat evarim lakevesh. Which means it has to be done by a Kohen. This act of transporting the bones to the top of the Mizbeah is really considered an avodah. So we're back to the question. Hatita. So the Gemara says, Ela ema bodakat aitzim lemaaracha. You know what are we talking about over here? Where you are, the Kohen is bringing wood in order to put it on the Mizbayah, to fuel the Mizbayah. Bringing the wood is not considered an avodah. So therefore, he's able to walk up to the ramp even though there is salt. Right? Because it's not going to be considered a hatita. And I read it inside, delav avodai. Right? It's not going to be considered an avodah. Now, the only question is, so now we have to go back to our understanding of the Mishnah. You're pouring salt on the kevish. According to this understanding, you're not mevateling it there. Right? So the kaura, problem of eshvuye gumot, you don't have. A problem of hatzisa, you don't have, because we're talking about bringing the wood. So what's the hadush? You have to go out of your way and tell me, you're allowed to put the salt on the kevish. What's the isur that I'm concerned? Why shouldn't you? There's no problem over here. So actually, the Geon Yaakov asks this question. So he quotes from the Maharsha, and he says like this, that later on, which immediately we're going to see, that even in the Medina, where we said, if your intention, like the Tevin case, where you're sprinkling the Tevin in the wet Chatzir, we said it's permissible, the Gemara is going to say it's only permissible derech shinui. You can't empty it in the normal fashion. Why? So the Maharsha shows, because it's nir'eh kem ba'aseh hol. It's one of these like rabbinical items, even though technically there's no isud per se, but it looks like a weekday chore. The chidush is that in the Beit HaMikdash, you can sprinkle it in the normal manner. You don't have to worry about it looking like a weekday action. So in the Chidush, according to the Maskana, there is no issue of Eshvu Yegumot. There is no issue of Hatzitza. What would the issue be? It's Nir'eh Kema'asehon. In the Beit HaMikdash, we waive all those type of gizmos. Therefore, he can even sprinkle the salt from a basket, the normal way that he would do it during the week. But in the Medina, outside, where we have Gezeirot D'Rabbanan, he can sprinkle, as long as he's not being mevatel there, but what? He has to do it in a different manner. What different manner? The Gemara will explain to us what the different manner is. Kavis Gemaran says, Tarash Rabba Mered Erasha, Hatzer Shinet Kalkela B'Mimei Geshamim. Oh, you have a Hatzer, it got spoiled, it got ruined with rain. Mevi tevin umardaba. You bring straw and you spread it out in order to make it, you know, so you don't slip. Amar le rapapa de rabba. So rapapa tells rabba. Ve'atanya, didn't we learn in the braita? Kishehu marda, when you sprinkle or spread the tevin out, en umarda lo besal, you cannot do it from a basket, ve'lo bekupa or a box. Which means, normally it would be the normal way. You take a basket full of tevin and you just walk around with the basket and you sprinkle. No, you cannot do that. Ela bishule kupa. The only way you do it is with the base of a kupa. To explain, what does the base of the kupa mean? Either take your basket, your box, turn it upside down, and put the tevin on top of it. Now that's not the normal way where you store tevin. And walk around with the box upside down and sprinkle it from the bottom of the kupa. Or, we're talking about the bottom of the kupa where it came apart, where you just have a flat board. You're walking around with a flat tray with the tevin on it and you're sprinkling it. Why is that the only way it's permissible? It's shinui. We don't want you to do it kederech shatah oseh behol. So the papa esrava, you got up and made a hadush. You said, it's mutar on Shabbat to sprinkle. You didn't make a hiduk between using a sal, using the kupa, using the... You forgot the braita. So the Gemara says, hadar, after that, Okim Rava Amura Ale. Rava had his Amura, which is like his interpreter. And he told his interpreter, go out and announce that I retract my statement. Vidarash, and the interpreter of Rava announced that what? Devarim she'amati lefnechem, ta'ut hen v'yadi. The halakha that I said before, it's a mistake. Beram, in truth, kach amru, mishum rabbi, is what the rabbi said, mishum rabbi liyazer, ukshu marda, eno marda, lo besal, velo bekupa, ela beshule kupa. So the Bible retracts, you're right, you can only sprinkle it, but derech shinui, meaning with the bottom of the kupa, not in the normal way, going out with the basket and sprinkling. Good, comes the Gemara and continues. Mimali'in mebor agula. So what did Mishnah say? You're allowed to draw from these wells on Shabbat. Ula iklal lebe rab menashe. That story. Ula, found himself in the house of Rav Menashe. Atahu Gabra, so a certain guy came to the house. Taraf Ababa. He banged on the door. He wanted to come in, he banged on the door. Amar. So he says, Hai litman hai. Who's this guy? Lithal gufe. Let his body become profaned. The kam mahilil shabbata. Because he's profaning the Shabbat. Means he cursed him. What did he curse him for? Because he was knocking on the door. What's the problem of knocking on the door? So he yelled, you're making a noise. You're making a call on Shabbat. You can't make a sound on Shabbat. So the guy came again. Ula comes along and says, the guy that is mehalel Shabbat, his body should be mehulal. So it comes the Gemara and says, Amale Rabbah. So Rabbah says, hold it. Lo asru ela kol shilshir. When the rabbi said you can't make a sound on Shabbat, they meant if it's a to a tune, exactly. Here the guy's just knocking on the door. What's the whole gizzard? Are they worried that you might come to make, let's say, musical instruments or come to fix musical instruments? So stop just to bang on the door, it's no problem. But if you bang to a tune, that's already a problem. So the guy didn't do anything wrong. Eti b'abaye. So Abaye comes along and says, who said? Rabbi, now you're making a chidush? You're saying the only time that Hashmachat Kol is Asur is when it's to a tune. Abaye is going to try to prove not like that. Ma'alin b'diyupe u'metifin mi'arak lechole b'Shabbat. You have a sick person on Shabbat. Now, at this point the Gemara is assuming the sick guy is sleeping. Okay? You want to wake him up, but you don't want to wake him up by pushing him because you might scare him. So what would they do? They would create certain apparatus in order to make noise. Okay, your Pirush Chai has the picture. I'll tell it to you outside. You'll pass around the Pirush Chai. The way I'm understanding it is what they do. They have two barrels. One barrel has wine in it, and one barrel doesn't. So you create like funnels, or siphons is the right word. And you put the siphon in the one barrel, right? And you connect the siphon to the other barrel. Now, you just suction, right? You blow some air in, and that starts the process. Now the wine just automatically comes from one barrel and just pumps it automatically or by itself into the other barrel. What's going to happen? Teef, 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 teef. It's going to make a trickling sound in the other barrel. What's going to happen to the sick guy? He's going to wake up. So that's permissible on Shabbat. Or another thing. You have, let's say, a barrel filled with water, and on the bottom of the barrel there's tiny little holes. The water cannot come out. So what do? You open the top of the barrel. But opening the top of the barrel, the air goes in. The air pressure causes the water to press through those little holes. What happens when it goes through the little holes? Teef, 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 teef. And it's saying what? It's permissible to do that for a sick person. Ah, but for a healthy person, asur. Why? Because you're making noise. You're making call. Even though the call is not to a sheet. It's just teef, teef, teef. It's not to a tune. So what do you see over here? That making any Hashmaat call, even not to a tune, is going to be Asur. Right, that's how you figured it. For those out there who want to see the picture of this, in the Pirush Chai, it would be number 104, where you see 104, 105, where you see exactly the siphoning of the barrels, and this apparatus called the Mirak. So it comes to Gemara and says, Lechole b'Shabbat, lechole in, lebari, lo. Huh? So you see, only what? For a chole they will in it. But for a bari, no. So you see, even any type of hashmarat call is asur. Gemara says, hold it. Hechidame, what's the case of the sick guy? Lav dinayim, isn't it talking about where he's sleeping? Vekabare dinitar. Right? And you're trying to wake him up. Shma minna alude kala asir. And from there we can learn that any type of sound on Shabbat to make a sound is going to be asur, and they were only lenient for a chole. Gemara says, la, that's not the case. Detir. We're talking about where the sick guy is awake. Vekabared delinim. And we're trying to put him to sleep. De mishtama ki kala de zimzume. And therefore we're intending to make a pleasant tune, which is they would set up the apparatus where it would drip to a certain beat in order to get the guy to fall asleep. Oh, that's not a story. So that's why we're only lenient for a chole. You're allowed to even make a tune that has a beat. However, if it was not a chole, it would be asur, but only because you're making it to a tune. Comes Gemara and says, "Etibe, we have a braita." Abaye asked another question on Abba. Hamshamer pirotav b'pnei ha'ofot. A guy wants to protect his fruit from the chickens. V'delaav mepnei ha'chaya, and his gourd from the animals, from eating it. Meshamer kedarko b'shabbat. You could just stand there on Shabbat in a normal way to protect it. Vavad shelo yisapek. You cannot clap in order to scare them away. Velo yitapeyach. Nor could you, let's say, bang on your chest, right, to make a sound. Velo yirakid. Nor can you jump, let's say, and bang your feet. Kederek sin osin b'chol, like you do during the week. Oh, my tama la v'kamolid kala. It's because you're making a sound. Now you're not doing it to a tune. V'chol alude kala asir. And any type of sound is going to be asur, even if it's not a tune. Question on Nava. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, Gezera Hashem yitol sror. Different reason. The reason why we don't need to clap and do all these things, not because of the sounds. It's a gezera. We're worried you might pick up a rock and throw it at the animals. Now picking up the rock, we're worried if you're into the shoot at a beam, you might throw the rock into the shoot at a beam. For amot, now you have a problem. So it's not a sound issue. It's an issue of the rock. Oh, Gemara says, wait. Ve'laha da'amarav yudamarav. Nashimam sahakot ve'egozim. Ladies that play on Shabbat with egozim, walnuts. What do the ladies do? They would play like a game of marbles. They would sit on the floor, and they would roll a marble, and then they would take a marble, a nut, and they would take another nut and roll it, and it would hit the other marble. So the nuts would bang into each other, right? So it says, the ladies that play with the egozim, asur. It's asur for them to do this on Shabbat. Why? My tama. Lav teka molid kala. Must be because when the nuts crash into each other, it's what? A sound. That's why it's asur. So the Gemara says, v'chol ilude kala asir. And to make a sound, meaning it's no tune, it's just crashing in. It's asur. The Gemara says, no, that's not the reason. Tilma atil asvuye gumot. This was, they're going to play it on the ground, right? What's going to happen now? They're going to see the ground is not straight. In order to roll it, it has to be straight. What are we worried about? They might come to
level the ground.
Nothing to do with Ashmahat Kol. And Gemara said, I'll prove it to you. If you're not going to say this, some ladies would play with apples instead of the egozim. They would roll an apple. Now when an apple crashes into each other, there's no sound.
No sound.
And what's the reason why it's asur to play with the tapuchim? Exactly. Gemara says, asur. There's no noise. Ela dilma atel asvuye gumot. Must be the issue is what? Asvuye gumot. Good. Tenan, we learned in our Mishnah. Mebaliin mebora gola umibora gadol begalgal b'shabbat. It's permissible on Shabbat to use this pulley, like this wheel, to draw water from the well. The Mishnah listed the different wells. So it says, b'mikdash in, b'medina lo. And the only etir was by the mikdash, but not in the medina. You have a picture of that?
Yes.
Yeah, good. That's in your Pirush Chayes, number 103. Now, to get what I want to understand, why should it be permissible in the mikdash and isun in the medina? My ta'ma, b'medina lo, my ta'ma, la mishum de'elude kala ba'asir. Because when you're turning the pulley in the wheel, it's making noise. And therefore, you're making a call on Shabbat. And therefore, even without a tune, it's going to be asur. Question on Baba. Gemara says, no. No. Gezerah shema yimaleh leginato l'chrumato. No gezerah. Since it's so easy with this pulley system to draw the water, we're worried if we are drawing the water for yourself to drink, since it's so easy, you might come to forget and you might start drawing water to water your lawn. Watering the lawn on Shabbat is asur. Nothing to do with the noise that it's making. Comes the Gemara and says a story. Amemor shara le mimemale begilgala b'mechoza. He allowed the people of the city of Mechoza to use this wheel system to draw water on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, why? Amar, my ta'ama, kasur rabbanan. What's the reason why the rabbi said it's asur? Sheme yimale leginato l'chormato. Because they're worried that you might come to water your garden. Hacha lo gina'ika velo churba'ika. Over here in Mechoza, we have no gardens. We have no grass, we have no yards. So therefore, There's no reason to make any suit. Kebara says, well, what happened? Kevan deka haze deka taruba kitna asalehu. But he saw another problem arose. They were drawing the water, put it in the buckets. And what happened? After they drew water in the buckets, they were taking, kitna, as she says, according to one interpretation, spelt. And they were soaking the spelt in the bucket. What's the problem of soaking the spelt in the bucket? It becomes one. That's a problem of lash. Which means when you take individual pieces and you threw water, you make it now,
kneading.
Right? Like kneading. You make it into one piece, it's a problem of lash. So he's alright, we have another problem over here. You can't draw water on Shabbat, not because of the garden issue. There's no gardens in Mechuzah, but you can't do it because of the lash issue. Comes Gemara and continues. We said on Yom Tov, the rabbi is allowed to draw from the special well called Ve'er Hakar. So comes Gemara and says, my Be'er Hakar. What is a special Be'er called Be'er Hakar? Some read Be'er Hakir. Amar Shmuel Bor Shekru Alea Devarim Vetiru. A certain well that a mikre happened. There was an event that happened around this well. And the rabbis were matir this. The well of event. What event happened? What mikre happened by the well? There was a whole tumult amongst the hachamim. Should we matir this well? Shouldn't we matir this well? Because normally the isur is, wells you cannot draw on Shabbat with this pulley. Why? Gizirah, you might come to water the garden. On this specific well, the rabbis waived their rabbinical restriction on Yom Tov and allowed them. So therefore they named that well Be'er Hakar. The Be'er where the event happened that the rabbis discussed. And they gave a leniency. So the Gemara says, "Okay, that can't be. That's not what Be'er Hakar is. Meti Be'er." We have a question. Lo kol borot hakarot hetiru. They didn't allow all the Be'erot hakarot. Mashma, there are many Be'erot hakarot. It wasn't only one, right? Ela zubilbad. They only allowed this Be'er Hakar. Mashma, there's many Be'er Hakar. So your interpretation of that it was a special well, that something happened, but doesn't work. If you're telling me that it's a special well, that events happened by it, my zubilvad. What do you mean, zubilvad? There's many Be'er Hakar. So Kavz Gavaran says, Ela Amar, Rab Nachman, Bar Yitzhak, Be'er Mayim Hayim. You know what Be'er Hakar is? It's another way of saying a natural wellspring. What's a wellspring? I mean, the water doesn't have to be drawn, the water just flows by itself. How do you know the word Hakar is a wellspring? Shnei Emar. Kabbalah quotes a Pasuk. Where is this Pasuk coming from? Pasuk comes from Yirmiyah. Kehakir Bayir Mememeha. Just like water sprouts from a well. So therefore, on a wellspring type of well, the rabbis were lenient to draw from it on Yom Tov. Kabbalah says Gufa. Lo kol borot hakarot etiru. Ah, not all wellsprings did they matir. Ela zubilvad. It was a certain wellspring that they nicknamed Be'er Hakar, right? Which is a wellspring. And for some reason, the rabbis waved their gezerah and they said, from this specific Be'er Hakar, mutar. Ushalu ben Agola, when the exiles came back to Israel, hanu aleha, they rested by that well. Unbiim shebenhem etiru lahen. So the prophets that were amongst them, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, they said, you know what? You can drink from the well on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara says, "Lo nevi'im shebenehem." It wasn't the actual nevi'im that were matirit. Ela minhag avotehem bidehem. There was a certain minhag from even before the nevi'im that specific well, a Be'er Hakar, they were lenient. Good. What's Be'er Hakar? A well of a wellspring. And what? Specifically that one, for whatever reason, they wait on Yom Tov. The rabbis waved the gizah. What's the gizah again? Shemeh.
Water the garden.
Water the garden. For this one, when they came back from the exile, they were lenient. Okay, comes the new Mishnah. Now let's just give it a haktamah to the Mishnah, so it'll go smooth. We know in the Beit HaMikdash, one has to be careful that there is no tum'ah in the Beit HaMikdash. That there's no contamination. So the question of the Mishnah is going to be, let's say you have a sheretz in the Beit HaMikdash. What is a sheretz? Torah lists 8 different type of rodents that when they die, they emanate tum'ah. The tum'ah. Now the tum'ah v'sheretz is only if somebody comes in direct physical contact with it. Negi'ah. If they lift it up, let's say, through something else, the sheretz cannot bring tum'ah on the person. Good? You found the sheretz in the Beit HaMikdash. Now obviously the sheretz is dead. Only when they're dead they bring tum'ah. It's also mukseh. Right? A dead sheretz is mukseh. Now it's Shabbat, they find a dead sheretz in the Beit HaMikdash. What is the Kohen supposed to do? How is he supposed to get rid of it? Well, what's going to be the issue? One rabbi is going to say, let him take his tunic that he's wearing, right? Let him scoop it up in the tunic like this, and bring it outside the Beit HaMikdash. Use it to his beged. Now, what's the logic? He says, hold it. We don't want the sheretz to be in the Beit HaMikdash. We want to get rid of it as quick as possible. We don't want tum'ah to stay in the Beit HaMikdash. But what's going to happen? The tunic that he's carrying it out with is going to become tameh. The tunic is going to become what's called a rishon le-tum'ah. Let's review the laws of tum'ah. Sheretz is an av. When it touches the tunic, it becomes a rishon. A rishon cannot mitameh the kohen. A rishon is only mitameh ochlim u'mashkim. A rishon cannot mitameh the person. So the kohen is going to remain tahor, right? And he was able to get the sheretz out of the Beit. But what happened? You were mitameh one of the holy begadim. Good. That's going to be one opinion. Another opinion is going to say, no. We don't want to mitameh begadim. Begadim of the kehuna is kodesh. We don't want you to mitameh the begadim. You know what we're going to do? Let it stay there. Be patient. Go find a flat piece of wood that does not have a receptacle, meaning it's not considered a keli. We call that pishutei kedi'etz. Pishutei kedi'etz cannot become tameh. It might take time to find that item. Take time. Leave it. We don't want to mitameh begadim. Scoop it up with that and take it out of the Beit HaMikdash. What's going to be the root of this mahloket? What is better? Is it better to get the tumah out quicker? Or is it better to preserve the kiddushah of Bigde Kehuna? That's going to be the two sides of the mahloket. Good? Let's read it inside now. Sheretz in himself in Mikdash. Well, you have a sheretz, the rodent, yeah, that is dead. They found it in the Mikdash. Kohen motzi'o b'emyano. The Kohen can take it out with his belt. Ah, you're worried about mukseh? In shvut b'mikdash. The rabbis waved the mukseh item on Shabbat. Shelo l'shot et ha-tum'ah. We don't want to leave the tum'ah in the Beit HaMikdash. Ah, you're going to ruin the belt? So you ruined the belt. At least we got rid of the tum'ah. Devre, Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka. Rabbi Yehuda omer, betzevet shel etz. So no. Wait until you get a etz and take it out with the etz. Why? Shelo l'rabot et ha-tum'ah. Because we don't want the tum'ah to become on the begadim. Understand the mahloket? Mehechan motzi'inoto. Oh, now next question. What parts of the Beit HaMikdash does this apply to? That you have to take out the sheretz. So the Mishnah says, min ha'echal, min ha'ulam, u'mibena ha'ulam ulam mizbeach. All these areas are inside. Those are definitely the areas of Kodesh. Devrei Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. However, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, if it was found in the Azara, Azara is outside the courtyard, you leave it there. The only time where we allow you on Shabbat to get rid of it, if it's in the inner areas, the Echal, the Ulam, by the Mizbayah. Rabbi Akiva omer, kol makom shehayavim al zedono karet, vashigigato hatat, misham motzi'in oto. He says no. Any area of the Beit HaMikdash, that if somebody would go in Tameh, he would be hayav a korban if he did it b'shogeg, and he'd be hayav mita b'idei shamayim if he did it b'mezid, which includes the azara, you get the sheretz out. Ushar kol ha-mekomot, meaning, shar mekomot would mean the other places, each one according to his opinion. According to the Bishimon, the azara. According to the Bi'akiba, the offices, the lishkot. And there's no kiddushah in the offices over there. Kofin ala pesachter. What do? You take a metal bowl, and you just cover the sheretz with the metal bowl. And after Shabbat, you get rid of it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Makom she'etiru lecha hakamin. In a place where the rabbis gave you a heter, mishilcha natnu lecha. They gave it from yourself. She'lo etiru lecha elo mishum shevut. Because they're only matir because of a shevut. This is a cryptic statement. We will wait for the Gemara to explain what Rabbi Shimon meant. When they were matir, they were matiring for you. But now let's go back to the subject of the Mishnah. Comes that we have a mahloket between Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka says what? The Kohen takes it out with his garment. Right? Take it out quickly. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, take your time. Get it saved, chilayetz, and take it out like that. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabtobi bar Kisna. Amar Shmuel, Hamachnis tamesh sheretz lemikdash hayav. A person brings in an item that became tameh from a sheretz. For example, you have a keli. The keli came in contact with the sheretz. What is that keli now, eh? Rishon the tum'ah. He says, you bring that keli into the Beit HaMikdash, you now brought tum'ah in the Beit HaMikdash, that's isu de oraita, you're going to be hayav. I mean, if you did it b'shogeg, you hayav a korban. If you did it b'mezid, you're going to be hayav mitabi de shamayim. That's the way Rashi learns. The Yom Evil has a question that you really shouldn't be hayav in such a case. Not a korban or mitai, should be hayav malkut. Whatever it is, you're going to be hayav. However, sheretz atzmo patur. But if you bring the actual sheretz in the Beit HaMikdash, you're patur. Strange. You bring an item that became tamer from a sheretz, hayav. The sheretz itself, the coin is patur. Oh, it's a logic. Kebra says, my ta'ama. Amar kera. Because we have a gezerat ha-katur. What does it say? Mizachar ve'ad nekeva tishlachu. You have, let's say, somebody that's tameh. What's the deen? Send them out of the Beit HaMikdash. Whether he's a male, whether she's a female, tishlachu. Get rid of them. Send them out of the Beit HaMikdash. So what do we learn from this pasuk? Mi sheyesh to tahara b'mikveh. Yeah, the only isur of bringing things into the Beit HaMikdash and having to send them out are only things that are, you could purify them in the mikveh. A human being can become purified in the mikveh. So therefore the law of tumah of mikdash applies. A keli that got tameh from a sheretz can be immersed in a mikveh. However, yatsa sheretz, she'enu tahara. A sheretz is a sheretz. You can dip a sheretz in a mikveh, still remains tameh. So we have a chadush, gezeirat ha-katuf. Only item that can be dipped in the mikveh are subject to the law of tumat mikdash. Meaning, it's still tameh. We still want you to get rid of it. The issue over here is what? If you have isur of korban or mezid, hayav mitah, etc. Now, lema mesayale. Oh, I can bring you a proof to this shita. Mizachar adekeba tishlachu. When it says that you send out a male or a female, who's tameh, prat dekeli heres. It's also coming to exclude keli heres. Meaning, let's say you have an earthenware vessel, right? Earthenware vessels also are not subject to this law. Meaning, you brought an earthenware vessel that has, let's say, tum'ah, no problem. Why? Devre Rabbi Yosei Gilili. My ta'ama, la mishum, delet le tahara b'mikveh. Because we know an earthenware vessel that comes tameh, the only way to betahir it is how? You gotta break it. Shvirato, zoi tahrato. So, see, see a proof. Same logic. Just like the sheretz is not subject to the law of bringing it into the Beit HaMikdash, because in la tahara b'mikveh. So I brought you proof over here. Same logic of keli heres. Kibra says, no, no, no. Wrong. I'll tell you, really, a sheretz is asur. And you know why keli heres is mutar? Different reason. Nothing to do with dipping in the mikveh or not. The reason why heres is mutar is, no, mishna'asa avatum'ah. Only something that's shayach to be an avatum'ah. Is a sheretz avatum'ah? Yes. Therefore, you can't bring it into the mikdash. Yatsa keli heres she'enu nasa av l'tum'ah. Hadush. Keli heres can never become an av. How? Normally, let's take one case. You have a zav. Nida, or a zava. Her status is av tum'ah. We said many times, anything that the zava or nida sits on becomes like her. Or anything she steps on becomes av tum'ah. Hiddush is, if she sits on a keli heres, it does not become an avatum'ah. Hiddush, why? Because it's a breakable item. And since it's not a sturdy item, she still thought it's going to break. Even if it doesn't break, the tumah of ah does not go on it. Even tumat met. If you have, let's say, a house, there's a keli haris in the house, the met is the avia of the tumah, and the keli haris comes in contact with the met, we have gezrat katuv, a keli haris will not receive even ava tumah of a met. So what's the, I'll give you the pasuk, it says, keli shenagab bemet, either it touched the mit, or it's in the oil of the mit, becomes avatuma. Because we know the mit is abiyavot. And the pasuk says, v'hatoa nefesh anugat etma. So therefore it says, how do you mitahir the keli? Mikveh. Only items that are, shayak to go to the mikveh have tumat mit. A keli iris? No mikveh. So what do you see over here? A keli iris is not shayak to avatuma. That's the guidelines here. Anything that's shayach to avatum'a cannot go into the Beit HaMikdash. And if you bring it into the Beit HaMikdash, you're over. Example, sheretz, which means we're retracting from the original statement. That which we said originally, sheretz mutar, wrong. Lo. Sheretz asur. Oh, why kiddi haretz mutar? Because kiddi haretz is not shayach in the subject of avatum'a. Any item that's not shayach to the avatum'a story, it's not a problem. We switched. So comes the Gemara and says, Lema ketana'e. Actually, we'll say this is a machloket tana'im. Whether you can bring a sheretz in the Beit HaMikdash or not. We'll say it's a machloket. How? Sheretz shenimsa b'mikdash. Right? That's our Mishnah. You have a sheretz that they found in the Mikdash. Kohen motzi'o behem yano. What? The first sheet out of Yohanan says, let the Kohen take it out with his belt. Not to keep the tumah in the Beit HaMikdash. The Vedere of Yohanan ben Beruka. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Betzevet Shel Eitz Motziyo. Shelo Lerabot Et HaTumah. Maila, Baka Mepalki. What's the source of this machlok? What's the root? The Madama Shelo Lishot Kasabar. The Shita that said we don't want to keep the shit, it's in there, must hold. HaMachnis Sheretz the Mikdash Chayav. That's why I want you to get rid of it quickly. Because really the Sheretz, it's Asur for it to be in the Mikdash. So they will not Sheretz Asur. And the other opinion says, take your time. Get a tzevet to take it out. Must hold that what? If you put a sheretz in the Beit HaMikdash, you are patur. Which means we want to now explain the machloket of the Mishnah is dependent on, is a machnis sheretz in the Beit HaMikdash going to be hayav on? If you say it's hayav, get rid of it quickly. It's hayav on it, isur. If you say you're not hayav on a sheretz, take your time. Get the get the piece of wood and get rid of it. Gemara says, nah, lo, no. Dekude alma hayav. Everybody will hold, you can't bring a sheretz into the Beit HaMikdash. So what's the machloket over here? The achab ha'akam epalke. This is the machloket. Mor sabar, shuyet tumah adif. One rabbi says, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, better to keep the tuman there longer than to mitamedi Kohen's clothing. Because when you put it in his belt, it's going to make the belt a rishon. And the other rabbi says, no, better to make more tum'ah, meaning mitameh the Kohen's clothing, but get it out. So therefore again, according to this, according to everybody, it is asur to bring a sheretz in the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Ava tum'ah. Oh, so what's the machloket then? Should you take it out immediately or not? Nothing to do. Everybody agrees it's isur to have it in the Beit HaMikdash, and you got to send it out. And if somebody brings it in, it's hayav. The issue over here is it better to leave it there, or is it better to mitameh the garment of the Kohen? Good? We continue. I'll show you it's a machloket. Whether it's asur to bring a sheretz in the Beit HaMikdash or not, from the following case, the Pnan, our Mishnah, Mehechan Motziin Oto. We had a machloket in the Mishnah, let's review the machloket. From where do you have to take out the sheretz from when you find it? According to the first Shita, which was Rabbi Shimon, he said you take it out from the Hechal, the Ulam, and from next to the Mizbayah. But from the Azara, leave it there. Now even though the Azara, by the way, is part of the Beit HaMikdash, but he allows you to leave it in the Azara. Also, we're going to say, obviously, he must hold that there's no isur of bringing it into the Beit HaMikdash. Because if in the Hechal, the Ulam, that's already a holy area, it's like kavod, we want you to get rid of it. But if he allows you to keep it in the Azara, which is also Beit HaMikdash proper, he must hold that what? There's no problem of bringing a sheretz in. Otherwise, he tells you to get rid of it from the Azara itself. But to be Akiva, that says you even got to get rid of it from the Azara, he must hold that it's Isur in the Beit HaMikdash to bring a Sheret. That's why even from the Azara, you have to get rid of it. So we want to make the Mahloket of the Mishnah between the Bishon and the Akiva dependent on what? This issue. Is it Isur to bring a Sheret in the Mikdash or not? The one that says you can keep it in the Azara holds, no problem. The Akiva says you got to get rid of it even from the Azara holds. It is a problem. That's why. Get rid of it. So the Gemara says, two lines at the bottom. My labi hakam epalge. Must be this is the machloket. Deman de amar me azara. Lo. Meaning the shita that says, you don't take it out from the azara. Meaning the bishuman that says, leave it in the azara. Kasabar. Hamachnis say this is the mikdash patur. He must hold that you're patur. And therefore, in the azara, leave it there. We're not, don't mean mechala Shabbat for this. Wait till after Shabbat. After Shabbat, you'll get rid of it. But on Shabbat itself, don't get involved. Why? Because there's no isur to bring it in. So therefore, we're not going to waive the... Oh, sorry, why don't we waive it in the Hecha and the Ulam? That's our holy area. Stam kevod of the Mikdash. We don't have a shed. It's in the, you know, holy areas. Uman damar mikula azara kasabar hayav. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you take it out even from the whole azara. He's going to say what? Hayav. So that's the way the Gemara wants to say at this point. That machloket is dependent on Sheretz in the Mikdash, you have to take it out of that. Amar Yohanan. Ushneem mikra echad darshu. Meaning, where did Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah and Rabbi Akiva get their shitot from? Why does one hold keep it in the Azara and one holds take it out of the Azara? Mm-hmm. What's the source of the machloka? Which means, where did they get this from? So the Gemara says, actually, it's a machloka, how to learn a pasuk. There's one pasuk, where is this pasuk? In Divrei Hayamim. And the way they learned this pasuk in Devarim Yamim, that's where they got the shita. What's the history of this pasuk? King Hezkiah. King Hezkiah, in his time, there was a pesel in the Beit HaMikdash. It was Avodah Zarah in the Beit HaMikdash. Who put the Avodah Zarah in the Beit HaMikdash? His father, Ahaz. Ahaz was a Rasha. So once Hezkiah took over, one of the things he did was he told the Kohanim, you have to remove all the Avodah Zarah from the Beit HaMikdash. Now Avodah Zarah is Metameh. Hachamim put a Gezerah. Avodah Zarah has a Tum'ah. So now the issue is, how are they going to take it out? It's not a Shabbat law. It's not on Tuesday. You got to take out the Avodah Zarah. From the Hecha, from the Ulam, from the whole area. Now, Kohanim are not allowed to become Tameh. So what does the Pasuk say? Certain areas, the only area that the people can go is Kohanim. So therefore you have a no way out. You're going to have to let the Kohanim metameh themselves in order to get rid of the... So the pasuk is going to tell us that in the inner areas, they let the Kohanim take out. Once they got to the Azara, where already Levi'im are allowed to walk in the Azara, Hezkiah said, alright, from this point on, let the Levi'im take the Avodah Zarah out. That's the pasuk. Let's read the pasuk and so then we'll see the logic. Pasuk says, Tayavu'u ha-Kohanim lifnima bet Hashem. The Kohanim went inside into the Bet Hashem, the Tahir, in order to purify. We didn't purify to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. Vayotziu et kol ha-tum'ah, Hashem matzu b'echal Hashem, l'chatzar Bet Hashem. Vayikabelu ha-Leviim, and then the Leviim took over in the Azara, le'otzi le'nachal Kedron, chutza, to bring it to the river of Kedron, where they threw it in the river, to get rid of it. Good. Now we analyze the Pasuk. Inside the Gemara. Mor Sabar, one rabbi holds, from the fact that when it came to the Azara, they now gave the job over to the Leviim, Tum'ah ba'azara leka, must mean that really there's no issue of Tum'ah in the Azara. Meaning, if a person brings a Sheretz even in, it's not a problem. And the Avodah Zarah as well, there's no problem in the Azara. Therefore, why should we let the Kohanim become Tameh in a place where there's no issue even over here? Which the rabbis are willing to waive the Tum'ah issue if it means something. Right. But here in the Azara, since there's no Tum'ah, so the rabbis, you know what? Levim are not subject to the laws of Tum'ah. Let the Levim take it out. So the fact that they let the Levim do it in the Azara shows you what? There is no law of Tum'ah. Because if there was a law of Tum'ah in the Azara, just like you let the Kohanim become Tameh in the Hecha, because it's a mitzvah to get rid of it. If it was a mitzvah to get rid of it in the Azara, let the Kohanim get rid of it. For the fact that they said, no, Adkan, let the Levim do it, must be, because not a mitzvah. So that opinion will say what? A Sheretz in the Azara is okay. Comes the Gemara and says, what's the other shita? Umor sabar, and the other rabbi says, no. Ad hecha delo efshar balviyim, mafke kohanim. Really, I'll tell you, in the Azara also there is Kedusha, meaning, of course it's Kedusha, but meaning, the law of Sheretz also applies. So why they transfer? Because until this point, only Kohanim were able to enter. So we have to use Kohanim, use them. However, hashtag the Efshar b'Leviim, tula metame Kohanim. Now that I can use the Leviim, why should I metame Kohanim for no reason? Which means, really, I'll tell you, you got to get it out of the Hazara as well. Like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva will tell you, in the Hazara, you can't put a Sheretz in the Hazara. There's Kedusha in the Hazara as well. And therefore, if you find the Sheretz in the Hazara, Rabbi Akiva said on Shabbat, get rid of it. Oh, so then why didn't they let the Kohanim? Why should we let the Kohanim for no reason become Tameh if we can find somebody else to do the job? So they were just huh? Now it's Shabbat. Or whatever it was. Now it's a Tuesday. They found a person in the Azara. What does the Huskiyah say? Let the Levim do it. What do you mean? Let the Kohen do it. Why should I let the Kohen do it? Why should I go? What do you mean? I thought it's a mitzvah. Yeah, you're right. It's a mitzvah to get rid of the in the Azara. But it's not a mitzvah to mitame the guy if I can avoid it. So therefore, I could say what? That the mahloket between Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva the Mishnah is dependent on how to learn this pasuk. Rabbi Shimon holds what? Azara legabet tum'ah, meaning, for example, a sheret, not a problem. What's the proof? That's why we didn't allow the Kohanim to become Tameh in such a case. We only allowed the Vim because it's not mandatory. We're not going to waive the Tum'ah. And Rabbi Akiva will say, no, we didn't waive it, which means we would waive it also. But if there's a way out, there's a way out. Now, in this case of the Mishnah, there's no way out. On Shabbat, you found it in Azara. Finished. You're right. If there was somebody else in Azara, Rabbi Akiva would agree. Let somebody else take it out. But if there's only guys in Kohen, so the Kohen is able to take it out. And then we have the Mahloket between Rabbi Yohanan and Rabbi Yehuda, how to take it out. Do you take it out with your now with the sash of the Kohen, I mean the belt, or do you take it out with a sevet? So therefore, the mahloket is based on a pasuk. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.